Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Hi, church. Good morning. How are you? I hope all of you are doing well. You're watching this video because I am currently in Seattle because my oldest son just got married. So now we have added another a person into our family, Sarah. So we're just really excited to have her come and be a part of the Kim family. And so sorry I cannot be with you live, but hopefully this video, the sermon that I'm going to be preaching will be encouragement to you. And so I want you to go ahead and turn to Psalm 131 in your Bibles. Also, you could follow along with our notes in our app. You'll see it right on the screen there. You could just scan that and you could download the app or download the notes so you could follow along. And those of you who are here for the very first time, we welcome you. This summer, we've been covering a sermon series called Practices. And one of the things that we really wanted to see happen is that we wanted to grow deeper in our relationship with God this summer. And that's why we wanted to talk about spiritual habits and why it helps us to grow in our relationship with God. So there were three objectives that we talked about. If you remember, we wanted to grow in our intimacy with Jesus, such a very important part of our spiritual lives, and how to grow with Him in more of an intimate, close way. It's going to be so important. We also talked about how we wanted to go deeper in our discipleship. And the reason why is there's too much shallowness in the way we are following Jesus Christ. And we want to go deeper in what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So even as we have relationships with one another, as you're part of our small group ministry called Life Groups, that we want to go deeper in this discipleship. And the third reason why we wanted to go over this series is because we really wanted to help all of us, not just the leaders, but all of us in our church here, to get ready for this new season. As you know, we are entering into a new season. There's a lot of changes that have happened. There are a lot of changes that will happen. And so we wanted to get ready so our spiritual lives, our faith in Jesus Christ can be strong. And so that through what we will go through, sometimes unknown territory, that we can trust in God and believe that He's going to do great things. So we wanted to be ready for that. So hopefully you've turned to Psalm 133. You can just kind of leave it there. And I'm going to just start and talk about these practices. And so in the last 10 weeks or so, we have been covering different practices. And let me just go over some of these so that you can be up to speed of what's happening. We've covered the practice of praise. Secondly, we've covered the practice of giving. Third, the practice of studying the Bible. We've also talked about the practice of intercession. And then the practice of fellowship, the practice of mindfulness, the practice of reflection, and the practice of repentance. And as you heard from Pastor Ben this past week, as we cover that portion of our practice series, we are now going to finish off next week with the practice of faith. You don't want to miss it because we want to talk about how God is leading us into this direction. And we want to talk about faith and what it really means to have faith, taking steps of faith in our lives. Today, I want to talk about the practice of stillness. Now, some of you might not have ever heard of this, the practice of stillness, but I think it's a very important trait for every single believer. So I want this to be an encouragement to you and also for us to apply this into our lives. I wanted to start off and ask a question. How many of you, and if you can, I know it's just through a video, but you can just go ahead and slip up your hands. I'm wondering how many of you feel like you're really a calm, just a very chill kind of person. Go ahead and look around. You'll see some hands going up. If I could put it in a different way, maybe the best way to look at it is I'm wondering how many of you, when you say and you lifted up your hand, you're pretty chill, you're kind of calm. I think it might be best if you ask your spouse or some of your close friends, because they're the ones who will actually know if you're pretty calm or you're very stressful or a person who worries quite a bit. I think for many of us, what we begin to understand is that we get stressed and uptight in our lives. A lot of it is because we're not trusting and depending on God. And the thing that we understand about ourselves is that oftentimes these stresses or the anxiety that we feel, it's an issue of wanting control, which is driven by our self-centeredness. Why? Because there are certain things that we want, and because we're not able to have it, we're losing control. And because of the loss of control, we start freaking out, we start stressing out, we start getting anxious and worried. And this is why the practice of stillness is such an important thing. And in fact, it will actually be a demonstration of your walk with Jesus Christ. What you believe about who God is, what you believe is going to be a key aspect of following Him and walking with Him. And so I wanted to take this time and just show this video so that you can understand a little bit about if you're a calm person or not. In fact, one of the other ways you could find out is if you're patient or not. So here's a quick video by BuzzFeed that just talks about how do you know if you have a friend who's impatient. So let's watch this together. All right, welcome back. I'm wondering how many of you, if we're very honest, we have an impatient friend, just like what we saw in the video. Now, there are some of us who are like, I don't really have that impatient friend or impatient friends at all. Then can I just say something to you? I'm going to break the news. You might be that friend. And so one of the things that we understand about patience is because we do not fully trust in God, and we're the ones who want to be in control, because there are certain needs and wants that we desire in our lives, that sometimes we could even be impatient with God. So I want us to kind of think about this in a way to just be honest and confess to ourselves and even just to God and to say, God, I am impatient. I am not chill. I'm not calm. I'm not trusting. I'm not depending. And so when you think about some of the situations that you're in right now, I think many of us would agree. Now think about this. I'm wondering if there's some of us who are wondering, when am I going to get married? And I think sometimes that shows us a lot about, are we trusting and depending on God? Here's some other situations. We're wondering, when are we going to get a job? Some of you are looking for jobs. And I know others who have looked for months for jobs. And so sometimes the question is, are you being still in the presence of God? Are you trusting? Are you depending on God? How about for some of us who are wondering if we're going to ever overcome this issue that we're struggling with, or we have been struggling with for such a long time and it keeps on coming up? How much longer do I have to go through this, Lord? That also tells us, are we being still before God, trusting, doing what we have to do, but yet trusting God to work in our lives? For some of us, I'm wondering if we're wondering to ourselves, when will this situation get better? Some of you are in various situations that it just seems overwhelming. And it's very difficult to be still before God, to fully trust in Him and depend on Him. I think a big part of learning how to be still before God is learning how to understand who God is. And as you know God more and more, that's where you're going to be able to trust fully and depend on Him. I love what Amy Carmichael said at Candles in the Dark. Listen to what she writes. She writes this: if you refuse to be hurried and pressed, if you stay your soul on God, nothing can keep you from that clearness of spirit, which is life and peace. In that stillness, you will know what His will is. Strength and calm will come to do it. You will go on with Him, and you will prove Him in new ways and grow in strength and joy. This is my hope and prayer for every single one of us, that we may experience this joy and strength as we learn how to stay still, trusting in Him, not trying to take control over situations that are not in our control, to be able to trust and depend on God, knowing that He is good and that He's greater, and that He's going to work out all things for His glory, to fully trust in that, so that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you can say that I am going to be still before God. And this is something that I have to keep on practicing and growing in so that God can be glorified in your life. I pray that that will be your prayer and that will be our prayer. I wanted to go ahead and take this time and have us break up into huddle groups. Those of us who are new, throughout this whole summer, we decided to do something different. Instead of just hearing me talk, because I was on missions, and so a lot of the sermons were on video, we wanted to have some more time of interaction to process some of these biblical truths together, to be able to open up and share with one another, to be able to say, here are the things that I'm learning. This is what God is speaking to me about with that point. And so as you're processing together, it will internalize and you will grow. And that's our hope and prayer. So at this time, we want you to break up into smaller groups, probably groups of two or no more than three, but break up into smaller groups and answer these two questions. Once again, you do not have to answer both questions. You could just answer one, or you could choose one and answer it according to whatever you feel is relevant for you. So here are the two questions I want you to think about. The first question is this: are you more of a chill person, or do you tend to get more anxious and worried when things are not in your control? The second question is this: how have you seen yourself develop or grow in the area of trust and dependence on God? And so have a great time of just being able to talk about this together. We're going to give you 6 minutes, so that's not enough time. So just go ahead and look at the screen. You'll see the countdown, and hopefully you could balance it out who's going to share. But it's my prayer that you have a great time of huddle group at this time. So go ahead and break up into huddle groups. Welcome back. We hope that you had a good time of sharing with one another, and we're praying that it would be an encouragement to you. And so as we talk about the practice of stillness this morning, I really wanted to encourage you to try to internalize why this is such a vital part in our relationship with God and growing in our intimacy with God, and even when we go deeper in our discipleship. So let me give us the one thing that I want you to remember for today, even as you walk out of this place, that you'll remember this one truth. And the one thing is simply this: that when we abide in stillness, that we can trust in God's goodness. When we abide in God's stillness, we can trust in God's goodness. So there are two things that I want to talk about, that things that we have to remember in abiding in stillness if we're going to trust in God's goodness. The first point is this: that we must be humble. We must be humble. Will you turn to somebody next to you right now and just say, "We must be humble"? Go ahead and say that. So that's the first point, that we must be humble. So let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 131. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Now, we have to keep in mind that humility is not something that we're born with. If that was the case, then there would be many of us, if not all of us, who are humble. But as you know, that we're not as humble as we think we are, nor do we see people living out their lives in humility. So the reality is, humility is not something we're born with, but it's something that has to be learned, something that has to be practiced, something that has to be trained in our walk with God, especially in our discipleship of Him, following Jesus. So why is this important? Because humility, because it's not automatic, it is something that has to be developed through experience. When we live life and go through different experiences in our lives, especially when you face difficulties and hardships, that's when we learn an art of humility. We realize who God is, that He's so much greater and bigger than us. And that's when we begin to realize who we are, that we're not that great. We're not as big as we thought we were. And that's when we realize how powerful He is, that He's the one in control. And then we begin to realize we're not in control. God is sovereign. He is able to do whatever He desires to do. And that's what builds the life of humility in our lives. It is these difficult and hard times, and sometimes even through suffering, where we build humility. And we know right away that David learned this important trait of humility because of the things that he experienced. If you look at earlier in the top of that psalm, you'll realize David is a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm, King David. And there are two things to remember when it comes to humbling ourselves before God. David learned that he has to humble himself before God through experiences that are painful. The first thing is this, as we look at verse 1, as we saw this, we clearly have to establish that in order for us to be humble, there must be a concession. That there must be a concession. Once again, it's interesting that David wrote this whole psalm, and it says here that David's heart is not proud, nor his eyes are haughty. Now, this is the same David that who not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but he willingly strategized to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, by putting him in the front lines. So this is the same David. This is also the same David where he wanted to take a census so that he could be in control to know how many people that he has and how mighty he was. But God then punished him because of doing something that was against the will of God. This is the same David as he's gone through all these different experiences that God humbled him. And that's why he's able to write what he did. I think it's interesting that as he began to experience some of these things in his life, that we see that he was a man after God's own heart. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22b. It says this, "He, being God, raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse,'" and say this with me together, "a man after my heart, who will do all my will." So here's David, who was a man after God's own heart. And God chose him so that he could do the will of God. But the point that I want you to understand is that he had to go through difficult and hard times because of choices he has made so that he will be humble so he can do what God has called him to do. We see David's heart for God in his humility when he wrote Psalm 51. If you remember in Psalm 51, after he sinned against Bathsheba, he prayed this prayer. Listen to what it says in Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17. "For you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Will you say this yellow section with me? "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Listen to what it says in the Message translation. And you can say the yellow section with me. It says this, "Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered lives, ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice." So we see here that from David's personal experience and what we just read in verse 1, that his heart is not lifted up, nor his eyes are not raised too high. That is a phrase of humility. We have to remember that a proud heart usually manifests in the proud look. I don't know if you know what I mean, but listen to what the person of Proverbs, what he wrote. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, he says this, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin." And you've been there, I've been there, we've all been there, where we tend to judge people, or we think we're better than somebody. And it's really hard to fake it when you kind of have that haughty eyes, you kind of look down at them. That's what David is saying, that his eyes are not haughty or lifted too high, but his heart is not also lifted and exalting himself, but he learned this humility. That's why I think the contrast to a person who is proud compared to a person who is humble, you see this in the parable that Jesus talks about in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14, listen to what it says. He talks, this is Jesus giving the story. He says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector," here's the contrast, "but the tax collector, standing far off," will you read this next section with me in the yellow, "would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Why am I talking about this? Because one of the things you have to understand about stillness is that there has to be a spirit of humility. See, what pride does is that we want to live independently from God. That we believe that our wisdom, our strength, the things that we're able to do, our abilities, is so great that we can trust in ourselves rather than trusting in God. So when you have a humble heart, you realize that even though you have all these things, it's God who gave it to you. It's God who's in control. It's God who's able to do all these things. And that's why in that spirit of humility, when you go through things in your life, you don't have to freak out. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to be anxious, but you're able to rest and be still before the presence of God. God, you're in control. You got this. You know exactly what I need. You know what it is that we need as a church. And you're doing things to refine us, to help us, to love you, to worship you. You're protecting us from things that we don't see at this moment, but you're working out all things for our good. That's why humility is such an important part. And that's why I love what it says in verse 1b. It says that he doesn't occupy himself with things that are too great or too marvelous for him. It doesn't mean that he's dumb, he can't think of anything great or marvelous, but there are some things in life, I know it is with you as it is with me, there are things that just, it doesn't make sense. There are things that we don't know why certain things happen. Just think about, why did that person pass away so early? Why did that person go through an accident? Why did that person not get into that particular job or that school? Why is it that even when I try to do X, Y, Z, that it didn't happen? Like, there are things that are beyond comprehension. And that's why part of stillness, it entails this humility that we are not God, but God is God, and he will do everything possible. That's why it says, I do not occupy myself. It literally is translated as walk in. So David does not walk in manners that are beyond himself. He's not stepping into things that he has no business trying to figure out. It's God who's in control. So listen to these other translation of verse 1b. It says this. It says in the New King James Version, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with the things, say this with me, too profound for me. Look at the Message translation and read the yellow section with me. I haven't meddled where I have no business or fantasized grandiose plans. Like all these ambitions, all the things that we want to do, that it doesn't make sense to us, but we're fully trusting in God. And lastly, in the Contemporary English Version, it says this, I don't waste my time on what? Impossible schemes to figure things out. And it's beyond comprehension. We're going to trust in him and believe that he's going to work out all things. This is why I think for many of us, if we are honest and confess, we have to say we're very selfish. We're very self-centered. That we want things when we want it, how we want it, rather than being able to be still and say, God, I trust in you. You know me. You love me. You care for me. And you know exactly what I need at the right time. And I'm going to believe that you're going to do that. Are you able to do that? In fact, can I ask you, are you willing to do that? Because you're humble and because God is God and you're not. That's why I love Psalm 46, verse 10a. It says what? Be still and know that I am God. Listen to these other translations in the New American Standard Bible. Cease what? Striving and know that I am God. The Amplified Version says, be still and know, which is to recognize, to understand that I am God. The CEV says this, our God says, calm down. I love that. Calm down and what? Learn that I am God. So there must be a concession if we are going to be humble, that we're not God, you are. The second thing I want you to quickly note here is there has to be a choice. So not only a concession to be humble, but there needs to be a choice. David says in verse 2, I have calmed and quieted my soul. You see that phrase, and what he's simply saying is, David is saying that I have made a decision to calm and quiet my soul. That is something that you have to do. And the strength that God provides, that you make a willful decision. I am not going to freak out. I'm not going to let the situation bother me, because I know that I have a great God who knows what he's doing. I am not going to allow some of the things that I'm facing right now and things that are happening to me throw me off or derail me in trying to love God and spend time with him. That's what is required with a heart of humility, that you have to make a choice. You don't blame God, you don't blame your circumstances, you don't blame other people, but you fully trust in God. That's why it's interesting in verse 2 that David uses this illustration of a weaned child. Now you have to remember, the weaning of a baby into childhood is pretty much helping the child to get off the mother's breast milk so that they can start eating solid food. That's what weaning is. So David uses this illustration, and he's like, just like a baby who is weaned off the mother's milk, now he is able to be content and fully trust. This is a very important illustration, because I want you to think about it this way, is that when a little baby, and those of us, may, you don't know yet, or maybe you've seen it, but I've seen it 3 times with my kids, my oldest one, my middle child, son, as well as my daughter. When they're very young, they're crying like crazy. Why? Because they're hungry and they want milk, and they're crying, just going crazy over just their hunger. But then as you get older, you're able to communicate and say, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. So this illustration that David is using is saying that when we're immature, we're like that baby who's always crying for things, wanting things. But then as we're getting mature and growing up, then we're able to get off the things that we demand and what we want at that moment. And then we're able to, in the choice that we make, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. And then Mom and Dad says, okay, we're gonna go and get some food. And you're able to wait and to be patient. Well, sometimes. So that illustration is what David is trying to say. That if we're going to be humble and be still in God's presence, then we have to be like that child that no longer demands things, but in the presence of God, just being in the presence of the mother is enough for him. And that's why I love the Amplified Version. It says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child. And here's that key word, resting with his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me, composed and free from discontent. Isn't that powerful? That a weaned child with his mother is just wanting to be in the presence of the mother, and there's no sense of discontentment. They are content just being in the presence of the mother. I think in the same way, when we understand God's love for us, that's when you could be content and have peace and rest. The love of God overcomes and brings into submission our self-centeredness and our self-love. That we're saying, God, I trust in you. I depend on you. All my love for the worldly ambitions and things that I want, the schemes that I'm thinking through, there are things way beyond my understanding and too marvelous for me to fully understand. But I'm going to trust in you and you alone. I think in this anxious and hurried world, especially here in Hong Kong, we need to practice this stillness. And the way we practice it is first having this heart of humility. And it is a concession that you have to make that you're not God. And also it's a choice that I don't want to keep on living like this. That I want to be able to humble myself before God, let him be in control and lead me. How about us this morning? Is there a concession that we don't know everything, that we're not God? Have we made the choice of quieting our souls? Are we still striving or trying to get our own way? We must be humble. So at this time, we're going to break up into a huddle group again with the same huddle group. And I have 2 questions for us. And once again, you could answer just one or both of them if you have time. We're going to go into 6 minutes of huddle group. Here are the 2 questions. The first question is this. Why do we forget that we are not God and there are things that are too great and marvelous for us? The second question is this. In what ways have you seen God weaning you into maturity? So go ahead and spend some time in talking through these questions, and we'll come back. Welcome back. And we want to finish quickly with the second point. and hopefully that we can learn this important art or practice of abiding in stillness so that we can trust in God's goodness. The first point that I mentioned is that we must be humble. The second point is this, that we must be hopeful. Not only must we be humble, but we must be hopeful. Let's go ahead and read verse 3. And this is what the Word of God says as we close out this psalm. It says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David, what we see here, closes out this psalm with a challenge, and the emphasis is on the topic of hope. Now, what I want you to see is that he's trying to connect humility that he talked about in the first two verses, and now he closes out in verse 3 with hope. I want to try to connect those two things together and how that helps us to develop the stillness in our lives and how we can abide in the stillness as we trust in God's goodness. David mentions two things about hope that we see here. The first thing is this, the placement of our hope. It simply means, where are you placing your hope? It's important to learn that where we place our hope, we determine what it is that we feel and what it is that we experience. And this oftentimes will either subside our anxiety and our worries and our concerns, or it's going to fuel it and we're going to get more anxious and more worried. It all depends on where you place your hope. In the previous psalm, in Psalm 130, you don't have to turn to it, but we are reminded of this genuine hope that comes from God's word and what we experience. That's why I thought it was interesting that Psalm 130 and Psalm 131 are linked in together in that way. So genuine hope comes from God's word and what it is that we experience in our lives. That's why, listen to what it says in Psalm 130, verse 5 through 7. It says this. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in, come on, say this with me, his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, and say this with me, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. What he's saying is, with God and with his word, we are willing to wait with this hope that we have. That's why one of the greatest tests, as I shared earlier, is that, are you patient? Are you trusting? Are you able to wait and believe by faith that God is in control? That through his word, what he has promised unto us, that we believe it, not just head knowledge, but we believe it in our hearts. And that's why we could be confident with this kind of hope that no matter what happens to us, God is still in control. I mean, the reason why I share this is because, as some of you already know, we are in the process of praying for our permanent home here in Hong Kong. And there's some situations that we might not be able to meet here for a month. And so we've been moving around from one party room to another place and an office space. We've just been moving around the last eight some years. And one of the things that we've been praying for is, Lord, provide a place where we can just gather together. This will be our home, not only for our Sunday celebration, but also we can have our different various meetings in that place. We could have life group in that place if some of the life groups can't secure a location. There's so many things that we want to do. I'm even thinking about there could be after school programs, different things that we can offer to reach out to the community. And so this has been one of the prayers, and I'm telling you right now, it has been a difficult journey, not only for our church, but for me personally, to really trust God that somehow he will provide for us so that we can have a space, so we could call it our spiritual house, our home. And it's been hard. As some of you know, it's been a difficult season with post-COVID, and some of us are struggling. Even our tithes and givings, it's easy to live selfishly, that it's for ourselves. But to really have people to look beyond themselves and I want to invest in things that will really build the kingdom of God, to advance his purposes and his cause here in Hong Kong. And so I've been struggling just to say, God, help us. And sometimes I don't hear any answer. Sometimes there's a glimmer of hope for one moment, and then it doesn't work out because of certain situations. And then other times I'm like, yes, this can work. This is a great place. And then we look at our budget and we're like, oh, we're not there yet. So we're going back and forth and we're trying to do projections. And oftentimes when I just look at the facts, like numbers and how many people we have, how many people are tithing and giving, and it's really easy to get discouraged. It's really easy to lose hope. And that's when I'm just looking at all the little details or hearing the details that are given to me. But when I look to God and says, you're my hope, we as a church place our hope in you, that you know exactly what we need. If it's a place where we can do the ministry you've called us to do, then you'll provide for us. And not that we don't do anything, but we trust in this quiet hope, waiting. That's so important. That's why I think biblical, genuine hope really is manifested in how we live our lives. Are you a person who worries a lot? Are you a person who gets very anxious? It just shows that you're not being still before God, because your view of God, His goodness, might not be very clear. I think a spirit of just a willingness to wait patiently for God's purpose and plan, I think that shows us that we have this stillness. That's why I think in verse 3, as David said, he says what? O Israel, you too should quietly trust in the Lord, now and always. And the Message translation says, wait, Israel, for God. Wait with hope. Hope now, hope always. So our hope is in God and God alone. So our placement of our hope is important. The second thing is this, as we talk about how we must be hopeful. Not only our placement, but you will notice here the progression of our hope. You got to look that hope doesn't just come automatically, nor does it come all at once. It's a progression. It takes time. That's why David mentions that their hope, the hope should be now in our current situation as well as into the future. He's talking to the people of Israel, and he says, O Israel, he says, what? Put your hope in God right now, but also forevermore. That's why in the ESV, as we just read, it says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time, so right now, forth, and forevermore. The NIV says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, and say this with me, both now and forevermore. It is something that it is for right at this moment, especially when some of you are going through some difficult situation. It's for you right now to put your hope in God. It's a choice that we make, concession that we say, God, I'm not God, you are. We're going to be hopeful. I'm going to choose to be hopeful because of what you said in your word. Because my hope is placed in you, not in circumstances, not in situations, but in you. And also, it's a progression that it's right now, and then the key is what? That into the future. Because there will be more struggles, there will be more difficulties. But we're going to put our hope continually in this progression, continually, even into the future. How about us this morning? I'm wondering, are you growing more hopeful every single day? Are you trusting in God more and more every single day, more than you did yesterday? I'm wondering, when was the last time you even examined your hope of where, what kind of hope do you have? Where do you put your hope? Is it temporary? Is it conditional? Or is it eternal because it's based on the Word of God? Do you have this kind of hope? And that's why we must be hopeful. And not only hopeful, but we must be humble. I think this is really the gospel message, where oftentimes when we don't have hope, just at the right time, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And when we were stuck and we didn't know where to turn, and in our hearts and in our lives, we're anxious, running around, trying to grasp onto something. Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And in that certainty of that resurrection, now we know that we ourselves, if we were to die, even tonight, that we will spend the rest of eternity with Jesus Christ. What He wants from you is your heart, that He can be fully trusted, that you can give your life to Him. And I pray that that's where you will find your hope. And as you humble yourself, that He loves you and He knows you, He cares for you, that you will be able to say, God, here's my life, I surrender. So the one thing, once again, is simply that when we abide in stillness, we can trust in God's goodness. That when we abide in stillness, we can trust in God's goodness. Can I just give you some next steps really quickly here as we practice the stillness in our lives for this coming week? The first thing is this: put God's agenda before yours. Put God's agenda before yours. Once again, part of humility is to say, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about when I want it, how I want it. But Lord, it's about you. It's about your purposes, your plans. I don't know what it is you're praying about, but will you be able to put his agenda before yours? The second thing is this: practice abiding in Christ. When you get anxious, when things are hard, abide in Christ. Spend that time, commune with him, talk with him, spend time in his word. Pray to him as you're walking around, which is the third thing, is to pray for peace of heart and mind. Because without dependence through prayer, you're not going to have the sense of stillness or this peace in your life, in your heart and your mind. So pray for it and believe that God will work in your life. And the last thing is this: proclaim God's promises. Proclaim it, say it. It's powerful sometimes when I'm walking around or when I'm working on things, just to declare his promises. And it helps me to have faith, helps me to believe, helps me to calm me down and not get so worried or anxious about things around me. So proclaim his promises. I wanted to take this time and just close out with this really short video. And someone took it, because some of you know they do all these social experiments and they try to bless people and try to surprise them. And this one man decided that he is gonna, saw this lady and she was trying to sell things, just drinks, probably just to get money for her family. And so these guys decided, hey, let's try to bless her. And so they brought some food in this bag, and in that bag there was a note. And what I want you to notice more than anything else is the woman's reaction after she looked around to see where that man was, because he left everything there. And when she opened it up and saw the note, when she read the note, I want you to see her reaction and who she has put her hope in. And I pray that it will encourage us. So as you watch this together, afterwards we'll spend some time in prayer and also in worship. May we respond to him, because we know that because God is good, and that in his goodness we can trust, and therefore we're going to abide in stillness throughout this coming week and for the rest of our lives. I do pray that you will really be the kind of person, we will as a church, to be humble and to be hopeful as we believe in this great God and all that he's doing. So let's watch this together and be blessed, and let's respond to him.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.